Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
It is Sunday, February the 15th. Once again, I welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. Easter is early-ish this year on the first Sunday in April, and so Lent starts early as well, like next week. So today is the last Sunday before Lent, the day that we look at the time that Jesus was transfigured before three of his disciples. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and together with our supporters, I welcome you to this programme of readings and reflections. We come to you on the airwaves of CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the eastern townships of Quebec and beyond. Today, as I say, we are looking at the time when Jesus' glory is revealed to Peter, James and John on a mountainside. This psalm might be in their minds. Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" we turn to God in worship and in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and wonder, you are the light of the minds that know you, the life of the souls that love you, and the strength of those who serve you. In you we have our beginning and our end, and in you we find our life's purpose. Heavenly Father, we adore you as the Almighty Sovereign who sits enthroned in heaven, unmoved by the raging of nations and the vain plots of humanity. We praise you for setting your Anointed One, Jesus Christ, as King over all creation. Lord Jesus, we worship you as the rightful ruler, to whom all nations belong and to whom every knee shall bow. Your authority is firm, your reign is righteous, and we thank you that unlike the fragile, rebellious ways of the world, your kingdom brings true freedom and peace. Holy Spirit, help us to live today with reverence and joy, serving the King with faithfulness. We take refuge in you, Lord, and find safety under your shadow. Yours is the greatness, the power, and the victory forever. God of mystery and mercy, we confess that we sometimes mistake our own desires for your will. We're too often distracted by our own desires and disappointments and cling to fantasies and false promises. We fear for the future rather than seeking signs of hope, and we preserve what is rather than work for what you desire to be. Forgive who we have been, amend who we are, and direct who we shall be. While it is true that we have all sinned, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love revealed in Jesus Christ and his cross. God offers us mercy and newness of life this day, so let us be at peace with God. Send us your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we listen to the scriptures in our time. Give us fresh understanding and a vision of how to live out your wisdom in the example of Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen. Reading of the Transfiguration event is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Amen.
And only you
As you will know from my voice and my stories, I am an incomer not only to Quebec, but to Canada. I've had to learn many things about living in a new culture and in improving a new language. I've had to learn about ice hockey and poutine and maple syrup. And in a North American context, I've also had to learn about baseball. I hadn't had much exposure to the game in the UK. Now, I was passing through Toronto a couple of years ago, and there was a Blue Jays game on at the Rogers Centre, and everyone was caught up in the moment. Now, I appreciate the skill of eye and hand and teamwork that creates healthy competition. However, to my eyes, it was a strain on the patience. A standard Major League Baseball game can last around 2.5 to 3 hours. And if the goal is to generally to complete 9 innings efficiently, some recent seasons have seen games exceeding 3.5 hours. Why can it seem so exciting? Because many of us only experience the sport through the highlights reel. The TV editors cut out the long wait between pitches, the fake balls, the walking to the bases. Now, there are a lot of tactics in all of this, so please don't write in and tell me I've got it all wrong. I get it. But after all, I enjoy watching cricket, and that has matches that can last 5 days, not 5 hours. But when we only see a sport through the highlights reel, we get the impression that it's normal to see, say, a home run being hit every other pitch, when in fact there may be only one match-winning hit in the whole game. Now let's think about God and faith and church and stuff. Have you ever had someone in your circle who gushes their faith, who expresses their trust in Jesus as if every day was filled with moments of miracle and every night with events of ecstasy? That it seems that there was never a moment when the power and the presence of God was not tangible and real. Now, some of those folks are obviously cranks or frauds, or in some sense, self-deluded. But there are others who unsettle us more and make us wonder, at least a little, if we're not missing out on something as well. I can imagine that if you or I had been around the church in the first few years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, we might have found ourselves feeling a lot like that if we'd heard Peter, James, or John talking of having been present with Jesus on the mountain to witness the transfiguration. I reckon even the rest of the disciples might have been feeling a little bit spiritually inferior when they heard about that, let alone you or me. More than 30 years after the event of the Transfiguration, the Apostle Peter wrote about it in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 16. He writes, "We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." In writing those words, Peter refers back to his presence there as a witness to the transfiguration. And he does so to demonstrate that his teachings about Christ and the Christian faith and discipleship can be trusted. But how is that supposed to make us feel any better about our rather more ordinary and perhaps unspectacular experiences of Christ? When we are only hearing the highlights moments, it sounds as though that is the norm, that it happens all the time. But for the one whose story it is, these are the edited highlights, in between of which there were many years of mundane, ordinary faithfulness, during which nothing special or spectacular ever seemed to happen. It was perhaps that way for the apostles, that it was normal humdrum stuff punctuated by the occasional supernatural and spectacular. And it continues to be that way for the vast majority of us. When the majestic mountaintop experience is over, and Jesus says, "Get up, let's go," Peter, James, and John go down the mountain and run straight into some really difficult ministry situation where the rest of the disciples are already out of their depth, trying to deal with the demonic attack. As wonderful as the mountaintop experiences may be, it's back down in the nitty-gritty of working for the kingdom of God in the face of conflict, misery, and suffering that the real work of following the Messiah happens. And that is precisely the message of this story for us. And Peter's continuing use of the story in a situation of conflict over ministry decades later makes it clear. Real Christian faith is not about an endless procession of mountaintop experiences. If and when you and I have those amazing moments where everything becomes clear and heaven opens up before us, let us enjoy them and give thanks for them and draw strength for them and learn from them. But let's not be expecting that we should be having another one tomorrow. The evidence of Christian faith and Christian maturity is not found on the mountaintop, but in the faithful engagement with the demands of love, mercy, and justice, in the long and often tough times of service in the valleys between the mountaintops. When, as the psalmist said, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles.'" In a world that seems in chaos and rebellion against God, the measure of our spiritual integrity may not be in how frequent or intense our mountaintop experiences are, but in how faithfully you and I live and love and pray and care in the valleys. The measure of the value and validity of the mountaintop experiences themselves is the extent to which they produce fruits of love and hope and mercy and justice the rest of the time. Amen.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for your transfiguring light has overcome us and is restoring within us the image of your glory. At the dawn of time, your glory overcame the chaos and gave birth to the earth and heavens. On the fiery mountain, you gave the law to Moses, and through men and women moved by your Holy Spirit, you gave us your word to lighten up the dark places. In the timeless presence of Moses and Elijah, you transfigured your anointed one, Jesus, allowing his terrified followers to witness his majesty and to hear your voice from the awesome cloud. Powerful leaders plotted against Jesus and killed him, but you raised him from the dead, declaring him again to be your beloved son. Calling us now to listen to him, you send us forth to share your transfiguring love with all. God of our faith and our future, there are many pressures in our times these days. Draw near to those struggling in economic difficulty, those burdened by challenges to their health and happiness. Work with the families where members are in conflict with each other to create solutions that express mutual respect. Make of our churches and congregations to be of groups of people that support people, whatever their state and condition. Help us find joy and support together as part of the family of your people. God of mercy and forgiveness, you call us to live together in peace and unity. Where people are divided and bitterness turns into resentment, show us how to work for reconciliation. Where violence and fear turn neighbour against neighbour or nation against nation, call out leaders to work for justice that will bring peace. Help us build a world where children can grow up to enjoy their future in good health and happiness. God, who is our hope and our help, we thank you for the inheritance that the people of faith in Jesus share as part of your church, for the gifts of so many generations handed along to teach us your wisdom and inspire us with a vision of the new things you make possible. Teach us how to learn from tradition, but also to recognize the work of the Spirit to keep reforming us in the faith. Build up the families of our congregations. Help each person find a place and a purpose in the mission and ministry of Jesus, using their talents and sharing their vision for a future with you. And now, as part of your family, called together over the centuries, we pray the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Evermore. Amen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.